Well, we are almost to Christmas, so forgive me if I give a little prelude to what we'll be celebrating on Wednesday afternoon at our Christmas Eve celebration. I'm going to be reading this morning from the first chapter of Luke, verses 39 to 56, which is still Advent. And let's listen for God's words for ourselves, but also for each other and for our church. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. I should have prefaced this with Mary have been visited by the angel at this point. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And then Mary said or sang, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. May God bless our hearing and receiving of this holy scripture. Familiar words, the Magnificat, as it's termed at times, Mary's song. Did you hear any words or phrases that stood out for you this morning? Away in a manger, no crib for his bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. I'm getting ahead of us, but a Christmas lullaby. You've been hearing them all around you, I'm sure. Have you noticed how many lullabies we seem to sing at Christmas time? My favorite is Silent Night, which we will sing on Wednesday as we light our individual candles and raise the glow of light within the sanctuary. But I was surprised to find that Silent Night is not the most popular carol. In fact, it was only sixth in a Huffington Post article not long ago, preceded by "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear" at fifth, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing" at fourth, "Ding Dong Merrily on High" at third, "The Holly and the Ivy" second, and the favorite Christmas carol was away in a manger. Away in a manger. Our poll question for today, for you to participate, are there any favorites? What's your favorite? I gave you a short list. Are there others that we should think of as our as favorite carols for the season? Joy to the World, of course, yes. That could be a favorite number one. Little Drummer Boy. That's a fun one to sing. Oh, Holy Night. Yeah. What Child Is This? Not The Last Christmas or... Mary, Did You Know? Yeah, it's a pretty song. Yeah, lots of beautiful songs, lots of beautiful melodies and lullabies. Well, I wasn't terribly surprised that Away in the Manger was the favorite because it's so down to earth and simple, easy to sing, and yet carrying a most profound message to all who sing it. God came into our world from the bottom up. Now, don't just let that pass you by. Stop and think about it. God came into our world from the bottom. Is that what you would have expected from God? So many of our other Christmas carols are more about miracles, angels, and wise kings from the east. We climb quickly out of the manger to sing of a Savior, a King, or a King of angels. We sing glory to God. Heaven and nature sing the age of gold, peace on earth, and oh, night divine. But in the Gospel of Luke, we hear a different song. There are no wise kings from the east, no power-hungry king in Jerusalem, no political struggle around a new king of Israel, although the background is set with a decree from the emperor of Rome, the most powerful person on earth. Why didn't God come to Caesar if he wanted to impact the known world? Why didn't God come to the priests or the political leaders in Jerusalem if he wanted the chosen people to finally bow down? For that matter, why didn't God come with great wealth in order to feed all the hungry, suffering people of the world? Surely God could have just appeared in all his glory and made the whole world bow down before his great power. And yet the song today sings of a poor, powerless family, and God choosing to be born into our world in the most desperate conditions possible, in a stable, in a poor province, in a conquered, powerless nation, far away from the Roman seat of world power and dominance. Far from the glory of the temple, far from industry or wealth, born in a manger. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep in the hay. What was God thinking, starting from the bottom? You remember the story, a poor peasant girl, startled by the angel Gabriel saying, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." I am getting ahead still. "Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Can you imagine? "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." "For nothing will be impossible with God," said the angel. Gabriel explained the situation, how it would work, told her about her aging relative Elizabeth, who would soon give miraculous birth to John the Baptist. "For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Well, maybe Mary took a few days to think about all of this before rushing off to visit Elizabeth. Maybe she was a bit of a songwriter by nature, though she certainly couldn't read or write. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit inspiring her song. But Mary's song, sometimes called the Magnificat, is one of the best known and most loved songs of all time. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble estate of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." And the song continues. "He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. According to the promise he made to our ancestors." I just wish I knew the tune for Mary's song to sing along. But did you notice the tiny word has, found in each of these sentences? Had is an odd word in the English language. There are two senses of has. Something will of necessity happen. It has to happen. And something that is completed and already has been accomplished. I always wondered whether Mary sang about the future or a present reality. God has already performed. Or maybe she saw or came to know a God who just has to perform mighty deeds of justice and mercy. That is who God is. What made Mary so confident in that kingdom long promised to her people that it was in her own womb? Now keep in mind, the Bible says nothing about Mary earning her spot in the Christmas story. Nothing about her praying a lot or regularly going to the temple. She sings of her lowliness. Somehow, she seems to recognize and accept that she stands totally under the mercy of God, as we all do. She has no worthiness until God gives that worthiness. As Father Richard Rohr, my favorite mystic, says, "Our worthiness is also and also always given. It is not attained. It is God inside you searching for God. It is God inside you that believes and hopes and cares and loves, and there is nothing that you can take credit for. It is something you just say thank you to God for." Remember, Rohr continues, "God does not love you because you are good. You are good because God loves you. And you are good." Mary seemed to recognize this and simply and freely received the mercy of God, and the world was changed from the bottom up. Mary's song was a prelude to the ministry of her baby, our Savior-to-be. His first words in the synagogue quoted the prophet Isaiah to announce the nature of his ministry, to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. Now, Jesus didn't show up at a private country club to tell the privileged how to give to the poor at Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us, showed up at the bottom, reaching out to those at the margins of society, announcing that the last shall be first. But Mary did not just sing. We know from the story that she and Joseph walked away from the security of home and followed God's leading to Bethlehem and beyond, including becoming Middle Eastern refugees, trusting that their experience of God was true, with no one to reassure them that they were right. Their only safety net was God's love and mercy. Be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. These words meant a lot to me just this past week following another shooting at Brown University. More young people gunned down, and the anti-Semitic shooting in Australia on the first day of Hanukkah, and the murder of Hollywood actor and director Rob Reiner and his wife. Multiple tragedies right before Christmas. But what a blessing to receive again the Christmas promise, Emmanuel, God with us. How powerless we are in the face of evil, but how powerful God is, bringing light to even the darkest times and places. We can hold on to that. In that manger, God has overcome the gap between heaven and earth. The issues of space and time have been overcome once and for all. God is here, not there somewhere. God is present right now, and he was present with each of those victims and their families in Rhode Island, Australia, Los Angeles. Our world still doesn't get it. The world still wants more guns and more technology so we can protect ourselves. The world still looks for the powerful, the politicians, the kings and princes of industry to solve all our problems. Look at us in the church, still offering God from a pulpit or denominational headquarters or televangelist or a doctor of theology or just a master's. Why aren't we looking for God in the mangers, or the streets and alleys, or our neighborhood around us, or the food pantries, at the community Christmas dinners, or in each other? If we don't learn anything else from Mary's song and Jesus' ministry, let us remember that God is still coming into our world. But don't look up. You just might miss him. God came into the world from the bottom. in Jesus. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there. This week, consider where you will be looking to experience God's presence this next week. And can you invite someone else to share that experience? Will you pray with me? Strong and loving, gentle, powerful God, we come here to worship you, to give praise, to thank you for, oh, so many blessings, for this season that reminds us to prepare ourselves, for you are coming into our lives, ready or not, from the bottom up, even to where we are, giving us purpose, giving us an important place in this world, because you've called each one of us and you love each one of us, and that means each of us is good in your eyes. And help us to see the good in each of us and all those that we meet, because you love everyone. We thank you, O God. Lead us forward into celebration and then living out, walking that walk with Jesus. And we pray in his name. Amen.